Hello and welcome to another episode here on the Youth Theater Podcast. I'm your host this week, Beatrice. Our guest tonight is Vanita Balami, the founder, CEO, and artistic director of NACT Arts. Vanita, thank you so much for joining us. So how did you initially get into theater?
So I was in kindergarten and my school was doing a production of Mother Hubbard. And I was all of 5 years old and I got the role of Mother Hubbard and I was really excited. That was my first role, but when I felt the stage beneath my feet and when I was performing to the audiences, I was thinking, this is it. This is what I want to do.
That's great.
What I ended up doing. But in that moment, it was very exciting for me. You know, then I acted and I directed and I wrote plays through school and I did a lot of theater through college. But I did not major in theater and the arts and I did not take it up as a profession. I majored as a computer scientist and I worked in the technology world for 25 years. And I lived and worked in many different countries, in many different continents, 9 countries across 4 continents, to be precise. I lived in Africa and in the Far East and then in the Middle East and then in Europe and then here in the US. So I had my technology job and I learned a lot of languages and I met a lot of people. But there was one thing I was not doing, and that was theater. I just got to a point where I missed it so much that I retired early from my tech career and I started a theater company.
Wow. Is there anything that you learn from theater that you use in your everyday life?
Everything. I mean, you know, just the ability to interact with people, the ability to collaborate with a whole group, the ability to stand your ground and speak your piece when you're in a meeting. Theater skills are applicable, I think, in every aspect of life and nowhere more so than in the corporate world, to the point where we are now. Because I come from the corporate world and I saw my advantages coming from a theater background. We are actually starting to develop workshops for people in the corporate world to come and use theater skills to enhance their corporate performance.
Wow. Tell us about NACT Arts. What do they do?
NACT Arts, we're a nonprofit theater company and we do two things. We do theater and we do theater education. We have an arm that does theater education for kids, just like PYT. But our primary focus is in telling stories that put South Asia into a global context. So you probably know that we have a very, very long tradition of storytelling in South Asia. The oldest story that we know today is about 5,000 years old. And for about 2,500 years of this 5,000 year history, stories were told orally, which is kind of the definition of what theater is. Then the written word happened and stories started getting written down. And the longest story in the world, which is a poem with 100,000 stanzas, also comes from South Asia. It's called the Mahabharata. And it is a story with, you know, lots of war and love and everything that you find in human existence. It's a very arrogant story because it says of itself in the beginning of the poem, is what you find elsewhere, you will find here. But what you do not find here, you will find nowhere else. So it's the comprehensive story of humankind. So we have lots of stories like this, which we would like to share with the world. And then there is a lot of people who come to the US from many different parts of the world. And we feel that everybody should have a voice and everybody should be able to tell their stories in respectful manners. And so that's what we do at NACT.
Wow, that's incredible. So what's your day-to-day role there?
I spend about 80% of my time doing really boring things like hiring people and finances and looking for money and, you know, fundraising. But I also do some very, very fun things. We read a lot of plays and we decide what productions we're going to do. We do between 2 or 3 major productions in a year, but we also have a new play development program where we encourage new playwrights to send us their play. And we do a staged play read, which is online. And in the last 6 months in COVID, I think we've read 8 plays. We've done performances of 8 plays. So we are very prolific in the new play development program. I spend a lot of time trying to decide what goes with what in a season. you know, because every season has a theme. Last year, our theme was powerful women. As this is a woman-to-woman conversation, you will enjoy it. We had one play which was about a dead woman in heaven, one play about an 11-year-old girl who was kind of Harry Potter meets Dan Brown. She was off on this adventure to find out why all the bioluminescent phytoplankton in the ocean are dying. Two women scientists at UC Santa Cruz researching why bee populations across the world are dying. So we deal with some very, very contemporary subjects, and we deal with some very, very traditional stories that should not be forgotten. So we try to be relevant at both ends of the spectrum.
You talked about how you started Enact Arts when you realized you were missing theater in your life. But I'm curious what prompted you to go ahead and open a whole theater company.
It was a whim. Remember the story I told you about the Mahabharata being the longest poem in the world? In the 1980s, way before you were even a twinkle in your mother's eye, there was this great theater director duo, writer-director duo called Peter Brook and Jean-Claude Carrière. Peter Brook is well-known in the theater world, but Jean-Claude Carrière is equally well-known because a couple of years ago, he got Lifetime Achievement Oscar for films. So he's a film and theater person. And they had taken the Mahabharata. They had spent 11 years studying this story. And then they had taken this story and they had written it as a play and done it as a 9.5-hour production. And everybody in India, and I was a young girl growing up in India at that time, was very excited because it was the first time the Mahabharata was being told to Western audiences. And so it was very iconic. It was this kind of watershed moment in theatrical history. Anyway, fast forward to about 8.5 years ago, I was living and working in Paris, and I was having dinner with a friend. And she said, well, the person sitting next to you, he knows India very well. And I said, how is that? And he said, well, I'm the writer of the Mahabharata play. And I was like, oh my God. That was me inside. And then me outside was like, hello, such a pleasure to meet you. So we started talking about doing the play again. And he said, well, do you have a theater company? I would love to do the play again. I said, no, but I can give up my corporate career and start a theater company now if you commit to it. And so to cut a long story short, that's what I did. I gave up my very lucrative corporate career in Paris and started a theater company and moved to the US. He came and he adapted the play for a one-man storytelling version of the Mahabharata. And for the first 1.5 years, that's all Enact Arts did. We traveled from city to city and we did performances of the Mahabharata. And that's how Enact was born.
I've heard that the mission of Enact is to empower and challenge contemporary theater at the nexus of South Asian experience and global audiences. Mm-hmm. In what ways do you help to fulfill that vision?
So, like I said, you know, we tell traditional South Asian stories and we market them to mainstream audiences and we hope that people have a curiosity about our culture. But we also look for stories to tell that are very global in nature but have some South Asian connect. For example, we did a play called Sound Waves. And Sound Waves was the story of this incredible woman called Noor Inayat Khan. She was an Indian girl, a Muslim Indian girl living in Paris when World War II broke out. And she escaped to London and she signed up with the Allied Command. And she became the first radio spy to be spying for the Allied Command against the Germans. And she was embedded in the French resistance. Now, this is, you know, a World War II story. This is a global story. But at the center of the story is this young Muslim Indian girl. And she gave up her life for an ideology and a country that really had nothing to do with her. So we're trying to tell stories in which we can demonstrate that South Asians are an integral part of the global conversation and they are implicated in all matters that concern global matters. Then we collaborate a lot with people like you. We do collaborations. We did a collaboration with SF Shakes. We've done some collaborative work with ACT. We collaborated with a whole bunch of dance companies. We collaborate with anybody we possibly can because I fundamentally believe that when you put one and one together, it makes much more than two. We share missions through collaboration. Right now, we're collaborating with one company in London and one in India. And it just gives everybody a wider platform to speak through art and to address issues through art.
Oh, yeah. That's really incredible that you have like such a wide reach because you mentioned that you were working in London and India as well.
Our current production, we have directors in London and there are two companies co-producing it, us and a company in India. So we're really all about expanding the conversations to include as many people of any nationality, any color, any creed as possible and just bring people together in ways that are easy, because, you know, it's easy to make art together. Difficult conversations are if you try to bring people together through politics or through religion. That's a tough one. But art is easier.
I wholeheartedly agree with you on that one. You've mentioned how you've been doing productions online during the pandemic. What do you think the role of theater is right now in such a difficult time?
You know, like every other artistic director of every theater company across the world, I think we had this moment of, oh my God, what are we going to do? And we said, okay, we'll wait it out 3 weeks, 6 weeks, 2 months, you know. Obviously, that was not going to work. And because I come from a technology background, it was very clear to me that the only ally we have in this strange new universe that we're living in is actually technology. So when you start to think of technology as your ally, then you start to say, okay, when this door is shut and this door is shut, what window can I open? And the windows that opened were really collaborative windows and windows of getting more audiences from across the globe. So, you know, if you don't have to be physically present to watch a play, then you can bring in an audience from anywhere. You can bring in an actor from anywhere. You can bring in a musician from anywhere. So we have actually become much more prolific in COVID times than we were in pre-COVID times, because we just bring in amazing people from everywhere. And they're all happy to work with us because there's not a whole lot else going on. So we're very grateful and very lucky in that respect. And we've been doing a bunch of new work, new plays, working on currently on a beautiful play called Letters to a Daughter from Prison, which is about the letters that the first Prime Minister of India wrote to his daughter while he was in prison, and so that she would grow up to be what he calls a brave soldier in the service of India. And she became the third Prime Minister of India. So it's a play about a father-daughter relationship, but the father and the daughter are very special people. One actor is in India, and as I said, the director's in London, and I'm in Silicon Valley, and it's all working just fine. So I think we have to take the opportunity to connect with people through this medium, even though it's not the most perfect medium for theater, but we should stop worrying about how the audiences are going to react or how we're going to do with audience reaction only through Zoom. I think we should be worrying more about how many more people can we reach out to, whether as actors or performers or audience.
Do you think that anything about live theater will change after we go back after these current adaptations?
That's a really good question. Thank you for asking it. I really think that we were sort of pre-COVID slowly heading to a convergence between many different art forms. Streaming and television kind of started to blend with cinema. And then we do a lot of our sets with projection design. And so our productions were becoming slightly cinematic. And then people started filming theater and consuming it as cinema. And so everything was kind of heading to a convergence. And I think what will come out of all this, because it looks like we'll be around doing this for a few more months, perhaps even a year, I think what will come out will be a new way of interacting with each other, which will be heavily relying on technology, but will still connect very deeply with a human being on one-on-one. And it could be in a physical space, it could be in a technological space. I don't think this format of presenting storytelling virtually or digitally is going to go away now, because we've become so used to it. It doesn't have to be a $1 million Netflix production anymore. You know, it can be a play or a storytelling piece or a devised piece produced for this medium, and people will still be willing to engage. Of course, theater is never going to go away. Like I said, theater is 5,000 years old. And so we will have the traditional and we will have something new and interesting and exciting to work on. Yeah. I don't know, I should ask you the question. What do you think will happen?
I mean, I think I agree with a lot of the things you said and the way you mentioned like how it's all like kind of coming together. And there's so many new things that we've done. We've done plays written specifically for doing on Zoom. And you've made a lot of really, really good points. Is there anything that you've learned about connecting through like a screen and how it would play back to how you normally connect in real life?
One thing I have learned is that it is much more efficient to do boring, you know, everyday accounting, HR kind of meetings on Zoom. You don't have to get in a car. You can sit in your pajamas, get your work done. Don't waste anybody's time. And then you have a little bit more time to be creative and to have fun. So I think that's a big learning that everybody in the world has had. I think there's a lot of large tech companies who are saying, hey, employees, you know, you don't need to come back to work ever. We've kind of started to refine the process of working online so much that you can be in a room without being in a room. So I think that we were heading slowly towards that, and we've just kind of been pushed over the cliff in a good way. I guess we jumped out of a plane to skydive, I guess would be the right analogy. And, you know, we have our parachute, but we're enjoying being pushed over. So I think as an organization, Enact has become more efficient because we're not wasting so much time on other stuff, you know, file sharing and all this. Is the thing that, of course, everybody misses, and you probably miss and I miss, is just, you know, human interaction, having a cup of tea together or going to Starbucks for that. And I think that because we've had time to reevaluate what are our priorities in life, we will be taking advantage of all these skills we've learned in terms of time management and using technology, and we will reserve our human interaction time for interaction that's really meaningful. And I will take you out to coffee when everything happens.
This is kind of tying back to like the theater. I know we kind of went off that for a bit, but do you think performing basically entirely virtually right now will impact how people like regard audiences using things like media and smartphones during a performance? Because I know right now it's very taboo too.
I actually have a meeting with some young person next week who is working on exactly this. And I think that's definitely going to happen. I also think that before we fully open up into, you know, theater spaces with actors and audiences in the same room, we might go through a transition phase where we are live streaming stuff, where the actors are on stage and performing, but the audience is still sitting at home and watching. So, you know, it's a theater, but you're watching it from home.
Yeah.
And I think that would be interesting. But the idea of... I don't know if you saw Harry Potter and the Cursed Child, did you?
I never did. I never got around to it.
So put that on your list of to-dos when the world opens up. You know, there was a lot of technology in there, even though the audiences weren't engaging with technology. But I think from there, it's just one step to, you know, people could just collectively write the play in the room. You know, they could pick from three options at the end of every scene. Okay, what should happen next? And they could all vote, and lots of cool things could happen. I hope it will, because, you know, we're so married to our devices now. They've kind of become extensions of our persona. Yeah. And we might as well use them creatively in the space.
That's very cool and interesting. I never even like thought about that as an idea, moving away from theater again. But if you could go back in time and potentially talk to your teenager self, is there anything that you would say to her?
I would tell her to spend a little bit more time studying history, because I was very much a math and physics major in school. And when I moved into the arts, I realized that there was so much I didn't know about the history of the world and the peoples of the world. And of course, I traveled a lot. And I was always, you know, horrified by my lack of knowledge of the places that I went to and the back history of the people. Yeah, I might consider whether I would have had a profession in architecture instead of computer science, because that's technical but still creative. That's always been a question mark in my life.
Definitely agree. As myself, a huge history nerd, I agree that history is a very, very important thing to know about.
Yeah, yeah. People should be taught history until, you know, they're not willing to learn anymore, because history, you know, everything's happened before.
Yeah, we're watching in real time how history is replaying itself. If you look back, all of the things that are happening right now.
Yes, yes.
Have been prevented.
And sometimes if you don't know the history, you haven't learned the lesson. And the lessons are there as well. So,
yes.
Yep.
I agree. And what's the best advice you've received throughout your life?
This is actually an easy one for me. When I was in my final year of high school, you know, we had to write exams that are kind of like your AP exams, except that they're school leaving exams. And I wrote my exams in math and physics and chemistry. I was in an all-girls school, and there weren't too many girls studying physics. And so the school had to borrow a physics teacher from a boys' school. And so the physics teacher would come to teach us physics, and there were only five 5 girls in the class. And he was this very shy gentleman who wasn't really comfortable teaching young girls. We were very naughty. So I gave my physics exam and he found out the results, and I had been placed very high in my exam. You know, I was sort of on the top over there. And he came to me to congratulate me and he said, "You've done fantastically well, but you have to remember that your doing well doesn't matter unless you help other women to succeed as well." So that was the best piece of advice I ever got. I have always focused on helping women succeed.
Yeah, I think that's definitely something really, really important that isn't really talked about enough.
It was interesting that it came from, you know, a shy young man who was teaching physics in a school where he really didn't want to be.
So what is coming up next for Enact Arts?
So we are kind of programmed through December very specifically now, and we have something coming up, 3 things coming up actually. On October 3rd, we are doing a staged play read of a play called Dealing Dreams by Jeffrey Lowe. And I don't know if you know Jeffrey Lowe. Jeffrey Lowe is a Silicon Valley theater star in the making. He's the casting director at Theater Works, and he does his own theater production work. He's also a playwright. And Dealing Dreams is about 2 millennials and their dreams of making it big in the tech world in Silicon Valley. They have to come to terms with certain harsh realities of how the valley works when you're in a tech company. It's a very interesting play. It's very also relevant to the people who live and work around here. And so we're delighted to be able to do the stage read. Then we have something very ambitious coming up on the 23rd of October called Letters to My Daughter from Prison, which I talked a lot to you about. That's October 23rd to 25th. And we have lots of shows. We have shows in India time, UK time, US time. And that's particularly relevant at this moment because it talks about a father-daughter relationship where eventually the father became the prime minister of the largest democracy in the world. And then his daughter became the prime minister of the largest democracy in the world. And we're going into an election right now. And for the first time, you know, there is a possibility. I mean, the possibility has existed before, but, you know, it might become reality for the first time that there is a woman in the White House. And said woman has some Indian blood in her. And so to learn about the most famous Indian woman in politics at this point, while we're waiting for elections to happen, might be fun for everybody. And just the idea of, you know, how much a father nurtured his daughter to become that way. The play is written by Lavon Mueller. And when I was talking to her about why she wrote the play, she said, "I was just so struck by the story because I don't know of any Western statesman who's had this kind of interaction and development with his daughter." So, you know, I'm just going to show you a book. This is the book of all the letters that he wrote to her in prison. It is, you can see it's pretty substantial.
Wow.
So yes. Over 18 years, this is how many letters they wrote to each other. And the letters are incredibly detailed, incredibly beautiful. And they talk about world history in a way that everybody should know about. And then in December, on December 3rd, we have something coming up, which I don't know anything about yet, because we asked a bunch of playwrights to write a 45-minute play on COVID. And these playwrights are from all over the world. And we are going to pick the 2 best plays and we are going to produce them. And this is in partnership with one of the oldest running theater companies in India in English language theater. And so we have 57 plays that have been submitted and we're just reading through them and 2 are going to be produced. But I have no idea what those 2 are. But I'm really excited about the collaboration because, again, we'll have actors from all over the world and directors from everywhere. And make the best of everybody wanting to make art together.
Wow, that sounds really interesting. I'll definitely be looking at some of those.
You should come and act in one of our plays sometime.
Thank you so much for talking to me. I know I've learned so much about you and Enact Arts and everything. It's been such a pleasure.
Yeah, thank you so much for having me on the show. And good luck with all your projects. And I will ping you sometime to learn history from you.
I'll be very happy to teach you.
All right, Beatrice. Thank you for having me on the show.
Next week, join us when Olivia Sprain interviews Jason Hodges, the executive director of the Anchorage Concert Association, who's a world-class presenter. That'll be right here on the Youth Theatre Podcast next Wednesday. The Youth Theatre Podcast is made possible through your support. So go to anchor.fm/youththeatre to become a supporter today. For Youth Theater Podcast, this is Beatrice Bell. And don't forget your mask. We wear it to show we care.